First Take, your take on this Monday, June 29th. We're presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and simulcast on ESPN News. I'm Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. Did Bill Belichick stir up a hornet's nest or what? We're going to get to that throughout the show. But first, your Sports Center headlines. According to Woj, free agent guard J.R. Smith and the Lakers are working through the final steps of a deal today. He'd be added to the team's roster in time for the Orlando restart. And point spreads are back on the boards at Las Vegas sportsbooks for the first time in 3 months. League play returns with a doubleheader July 30th, where Zion and the Pelicans are a one-point favorite over the Jazz. Clippers-Lakers is a pick'em, according to Caesars Sportsbook. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same networks while saving up to 50%. Get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. First Take, your take. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. We want your participation. Does the Cam Newton signing make the Patriots the team to beat in the AFC East? Get on the phone lines, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Because you didn't really think Jarrett Stidham was going to be the horse Bill Belichick rode into battle to start the post-Brady era, did you? The big question for Molly and the guys, is the deal bigger for Cam or Belichick? Here's Stephen A., Dominique Foxworth, and Mike Greenberg with the debate.
Well, to me, it's bigger for Cam because it's an incredible opportunity. We can act like it's bigger for Bill Belichick all we want to, but we have to take into consideration that a record of, what is it, like 237-83, that's a 74.1 winning percentage over 20 years as the head of the New England Patriots, as this head coach and de facto general, not even de facto, he's the boss. The bottom line is that when you look at the level of success that he's been able to enjoy, albeit primarily with Tom Brady, there's no denying the fact that as a head coach with a multitude of responsibilities, he has cemented himself as the greatest coach of this generation and arguably the greatest to have ever lived. Cam Newton may be a former league MVP from 2015, but he's only completed better than 60% of his passes three times in his career. Over the last couple of years, he's been injured. Last time we saw him healthy, he was playing lights out, no question, completing about 67% of his passes, going 6-2 in those first eight games with North Turner as his offensive coordinator. But ever since then, because of a foot injury, because of a shoulder injury prior to that, he hasn't been himself, and as a result, primarily by getting screwed over from the Carolina Panthers, who waited till the last hour to let him go, therefore compromising his marketability and everything else. You had a lot of people out there, still having a lot of people that are questioning whether or not he has it anymore. Has attrition kicked in? Did his body take too much punishment, or things of that nature? Not to mention, fact, this nugget of information for both you, Greeny, and Dominique, along with you, Molly, I happen to know on good authority that the New England Patriots were considering Colin Kaepernick, but came to the conclusion that Cam Newton would be a better fit because obviously he hasn't been gone for as long. But Colin Kaepernick was being considered by the New England Patriots to end up in Foxborough. So all of these things as a backdrop, as residue for Cam Newton to lean on, I would say clearly more pressure is on him. Bill Belichick may want to win without Tom Brady. He may want to prove he can win without Tom Brady, but he doesn't have much to prove. Cam Newton has a lot to prove. Pressure's on him.
I think you're right. Bill Belichick is going to go down in history as a great coach no matter what happens. But I do think that he stands to gain more in this situation than I think Cam Newton does. I think Cam Newton could resurrect his career and go on to have some success elsewhere or re-sign long-term in New England and keep going and maybe win a Super Bowl. It means a lot for Cam Newton. But Tom Brady is the Patriots. When we think about the Patriots, as much as we love Bill Belichick and we appreciate his contributions, I think people think about the quarterback in that situation. And this is the first opportunity that Belichick will have to have sustained success. I know we can talk about that season with Castle and a couple games with Brissett and Garoppolo, but sustained success for a season without Tom Brady at quarterback. You think about Belichick's work before he ended up in New England was with the Browns, and that was a failed endeavor out there with the Browns. While we all believe that Bill Belichick can succeed without Tom Brady, it's an opportunity to show that. And I'm not sure that we'll be talking about Cam Newton's career 20, 30 years from now, the same way we'll be talking about what happened with the Patriots, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady. If Bill Belichick can win another Super Bowl or put together another dominant team, a powerhouse for years to come in the AFC with the Patriots without Tom Brady, I think it means more to him. This is hugely valuable to him, especially getting Cam on such a cheap price. That means so much to them. They've gotten Cam, and I mentioned this earlier when we were on Get Up, they got Cam for his base salary is less than they're paying for that fine that they're getting administered for their Spygate Part 2. So I think this is a huge opportunity for Bill Belichick. While it is big, you're not wrong. Nothing you said, Stephen A., was wrong. It is big for Cam Newton. I think it's bigger for Bill Belichick and the way we will view him going forward to be able to win with a quarterback who's not only not Tom Brady, is incredibly different. If he can adapt his skills to win with a quarterback who's not Tom Brady, I think that's huge.
This is such typical Belichick. To your point, Neek, he just got a quarterback for less than it cost him to videotape the sideline of a game between the Bengals and the Browns last year. Molly, you say he's playing chess? The rest of the league isn't even playing checkers. What's a game that requires literally no skill? Like, I was writing down notes as I was sitting here thinking, like, go fish, war, what card game is it that you literally just, whatever card comes up, that's what you play. That's what the rest of the league is playing. And I'll tell you what Bill Belichick has at stake here. Bill Belichick has everything at stake because he's the one who's competing with ghosts. He's the one who's competing with Vince Lombardi and Bill Walsh and all the Paul Brown, the other greatest coaches in the history of the sport. Because the only thing you can question about Bill Belichick is whether or not Tom Brady was the primary reason he accomplished what he accomplished. Could he have done it without the all-time great? Not only did he have a losing record in Cleveland, but he was 5-11 the year before Brady became his starter in New England. So that is literally the only blemish or question mark on his resume. If they win big with Cam Newton at quarterback this year, then there is nothing left to question. Belichick is the greatest coach of all time.
Great debate this morning on First Take. By the way, it ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 campfire smokehouse chicken. Our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that home, down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. I'm with Dominique in the sense that Bill Belichick has more to gain here. I mean, are you telling me that you wouldn't look at Belichick differently if he wins without Tom Brady? Like, this is Lennon and McCartney breaking up and competing to see who has the bigger solo career. If you think it doesn't matter to these guys, it does. And that's not to say that it wouldn't be big for Cam. He's had a brilliant career, but he's not in the discussion of the all-time greats. Belichick is. And if he were to win a Super Bowl with Cam Newton after dominating the league for nearly 20 years with Tom Brady, in this era of free agency and insane roster turnover, there's not even a discussion about who the greatest coach ever is. There may not be right now. But if Belichick wins with Cam Newton, case closed. Your Honor, I rest my case. It's over. Question we're asking you on the ESPN hotline tonight. Does Cam Newton and the signing of Cam Newton make the Patriots the favorites in the AFC East? Alan from South Dakota gets us started today. Alan, how are you?
How's it going today?
I'm doing well. What's your opinion about that?
All right, man. So last time I checked, Cam Newton is probably one of the most inaccurate quarterbacks, most overhyped quarterbacks, other than that one great season he had. I mean, like, I still think he's very inaccurate. I mean, who's he going to be throwing to in New England? Like, last time I checked, I don't even think they got a number one wide receiver, do they?
They have Julian Edelman. They drafted N'Keal Henry a year ago. They used 2 third-round picks on tight ends. They've got a great offensive line. Alan, I'm with you in the sense that Cam hasn't been accurate the past 2 years. Start of the 2018 season, he was terrific. Not good. He was terrific at the start of the 2018 season. And then there was a foot injury, I believe, and so his career has been derailed. But the signing of Cam Newton is a home run for the Patriots. There's no other way to look at it. 888-SAY-ESPN, does the Cam Newton signing make the Patriots the favorite in the AFC East? Clarence from Florida. Clarence, what are your thoughts?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well.
I believe it's on Cam Newton. It's not New England. You know, Belichick won with Castle. He gone won with Brissett. He gone won with what the quarterback San Francisco got. Belichick gonna want. He won a championship, but when Brady either suspended or hurt, he still wins, right?
For short periods of time, you're right. Matt Cassel, he had success with Matt Cassel the 1 year that Brady went down with the ACL injury. This to me is a different circumstance. I mean, this to me, that was an emergency situation that Cassel was thrust into, and I'm not discrediting what Cassel did, but that year was managed, okay? Cam Newton wasn't brought in to manage games. Cam Newton was brought in to win games, to keep the Patriots as the class of the AFC East. Does it make them the favorites in the AFC East? I'm not so sure about that, and we'll delve into that more a bit as the show goes along. We want to bring in our guest, Jim McBride, Patriots beat writer for the Boston Globe. He joins us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jim, thanks for taking the time. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, Jim, he's a former MVP. He's a proven commodity, albeit one who's dealt with injury in recent years. But it's as team-friendly a deal as possible. So what's the reaction in Boston?
Well, I think one of surprise, you know, not quite the surprise of maybe Tom leaving a couple of months ago, but pretty close. I think that by bringing in Brian Hoyer as kind of a veteran guy to kind of mentor Jarrett Stidham and signing a couple of undrafted free agents, I think most people thought that the quarterback room was set in New England for this year and probably next year at least. So I think Cam's, you know, his price must have come down significantly enough for the Patriots to show interest. And, you know, now it just creates more competition. And you know, I think it, you know, it has a chance to keep the Patriots in the winning ways and keep them atop the AFC East.
We'll talk about that more in just a bit and also get your thoughts on Jarrett Stidham. We're chatting with Jim McBride, Boston Globe Patriots beat writer. Jim, as you understand it, what was the process here? I mean, Cam's been a free agent since March. The Patriots had 10 draft picks and used none of them on a quarterback. And then on a quiet, late June Sunday night, they make this splash. Why and why now?
Yeah, I think the timing was just right. I think it was, you know, the combination of the opportunity for the Patriots to get a veteran leader like this, an established guy who's got, you know, brought a team to a Super Bowl, been an MVP, and that plus the fact that, you know, the market was still there, and clearly, you know, what Cam probably expected to get on the open market was not going to happen. So, you know, the opportunity to play for a franchise that, you know, has been successful for the last two decades, a chance to prove himself and maybe score a bigger payday next year was probably the things that were appealing to Cam.
Right. It's a move that makes sense, Jim, and it's, as you pointed out, it's good for Cam. It gives him a tremendous audition. And by the way, it gives him a chance to start, which he likely wasn't going to get anywhere else. And of course, it's good for the Patriots with Jarrett Stidham as the only viable starter on the roster, if we're being honest about it. So it makes sense. But Jim, is it a good fit given the Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels system?
You know, I think it is, because the Patriots have a lot of weapons on offense that are kind of catch and run guys. You know, Julian Edelman, James White, you know, those type of players that can, you know, Rex Burkhead, those type of players that can take quick hits and take off. And Cam has kind of developed into that kind of quarterback under North Turner the last few years. You know, he had that, you know, kind of that big arm early in his career, but he's kind of morphed into this more of a, you know, I'm not sure if West Coast guy is accurate, but he certainly has excelled in the short passing game later on in his career. And I think that's you know, suits the Patriots well and kind of could fit their scheme. Now, the Patriots playbook is gigantic, and we've heard in the past about veteran guys having trouble digesting it, but those have usually been receivers. They haven't had a veteran quarterback come in and, you know, had to take over the starting role because Tom's been there for so long. So that'll be interesting. If he can grasp that offense, yeah, I think he can excel in it. I think it's going to be a pretty good fit. And certainly, you know, it makes the competition in camp, you know, crazy, because I don't think the Patriots have ever had five quarterbacks in camp. So, you know, there's a lot of arms, but there's a lot of receivers too. So it should be interesting, but I think it really can be a good fit matching that skill set with the offense that Josh wants to run.
Jim, you talked about some of the guys who would be catching the ball from him. You've mentioned a few. Help us understand, Because Cam obviously has been dealing with injuries, some significant over the past two, three seasons. Help us understand, Jim, the kind of line he's going to have blocking for him. And then as you got into a bit, the level of skill position players he'll have catching passes from him.
Yeah, just 2 years ago, this was probably one of the best offensive lines in the league. You know, they had Trent Brown, who came in and played left tackle flawlessly for 1 year. They've replaced him with Isaiah Wynn, who was their first-round pick 2 years ago. He got hurt, unfortunately. Showed some signs last year. Maybe the best left guard in the league in Joe Tooney, a guy who they franchised. And, you know, I would think they're trying to work out a long-term deal with him. Last year, the line kind of underperformed because there were a lot of injuries. They lost David Andrews, their center, in the preseason. You know, Marcus Cannon was hurt. Shaq Mason at right guard was hurt. And Isaiah Wynn was hurt. So if they can get back to the level they were 2 years ago when they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl and they were such a devastating unit, especially on combo blocks and, you know, in the run game and the pass game, I think Cam will be, you know, he'll be very comfortable. His backside should be well protected with Tooney and Isaiah Wynn there. And, you know, the tight ends are always asked to do a lot of blocking in the Patriots offense. As far as the skill guys go, they have guys that get open quickly, and that really helps. You know, Edelman has been, you know, the slot king for the last decade or so. Mohamed Sanu, who showed so much promise in his first couple of games with the Patriots last year after he was acquired from the Falcons, but he got hurt on a punt return. You know, and after catching 10 balls in the Ravens game, I think he caught 9 for the rest of the season because an ankle injury really hampered him. He's another guy that can play inside, outside, gets open quickly. You know, he'll become a favorite of Newton's during camp. And then the running backs, James White has developed into one of the best receiving backs in the league over the last 5 years. Rex Burkhead is also a pretty good dual threat guy. And then they got a guy they drafted in the third round last year out of Alabama, Damian Harris, who was just kind of a victim of numbers last year. He was just buried on a deep depth chart. I could see him getting a role because he also worked out of the slot and out of the backfield at Alabama and, you know, was one of their top performers for 4 seasons.
And N'Keal Harry, a first-round pick a season ago out of Arizona State. I mean, Cam steps into a pretty good situation here. We're chatting with Patriots beat writer Jim McBride from the Boston Globe. By the way, Pennzoil synthetic motor oil is made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Jim, what does this move say about how the Patriots feel about Jarrett Stidham?
You know, I don't think it's an indictment on Stidham. I think they're still pretty high on him. You know, I think they liked what they saw during the exhibition season last year. I think that, you know, unfortunately, we're not able to watch much of practice on a day-in, day-out basis once the regular season starts. We get about a 10-minute window. But from talking to players around, he practiced a lot with the first team as they rested Tom a lot last year as he dealt with a couple of nagging injuries. And they were impressed. I know Devin McCourty said that he was a highly competitive kid, and he expected him to be around the Patriots for a while. So I think they're high on him. Maybe you know, the pressure to step in and be Tom's replacement, they want to kind of ease back on that a little bit. But, you know, it's another win-win because even if Cam comes in, wins the starting job, lights it up for a year and leaves, that's another year Stidham learned under a veteran quarterback. He had one under Tom, one under Cam. You know, and then he'd still be around for 2 years under his rookie deal. So it could still work out well. I don't think this is the Patriots saying, you know, we don't have confidence in Stidham. I think it was them saying we have a chance to get a guy who was an MVP, who led a team to the Super Bowl and, you know, is now looking to prove himself. So, you know, the competition is there and Bill loves to create competition.
And they got him for nothing. I mean, that's the other thing, right? If this doesn't work out, it's $1 million cap hit. That's it. I mean, it's incredible. And by the way, the haberdashery business in Boston is going to skyrocket with Cam coming to town. That is for sure. Hey, Jim McBride, Patriots beat writer for the Boston Globe. Great insight today. We really, really appreciate you coming on.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff from Jim. We head back to the phone lines. 888-729-3776. Does the Cam signing make the Patriots the favorite to win the AFC East? Johnny from Atlanta. Johnny, what do you think?
Hey, what's going on, man? And to answer your question, yes, they will win the division every time. Because bringing Cam onto the Patriots. They just passing the torch from Tom Brady to Cam. It's like Cam is a former MVP. He's going to be at a team that's going to have great coaching staff, great players. And it's just a big question mark to me in his throwing. But if he can prove that his passing is elite, they will win every year in the division. And they might go to the Super Bowl again, even though I'm a Cowboys fan. Go Cowboys.
I was going to say, spare me. Spare me, they might go to the Super Bowl. You're talking to a Bills fan here, all right? I got to endure another hour and 40 minutes of this talk about the Patriots being the favorites now. Which, by the way, we encourage you to get on the phone lines and stay with us. 888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up, the punishment has come down on the Patriots. But does the punishment fit the crime? We'll delve into that coming up. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I'm Kevin Connors. In today for Jason Fitz, we're asking you, does the Cam Newton signing make the Patriots the favorites to win the AFC East? Phone lines are jammed, but try to get on them. 888-SAY-ESPN. Well, meantime, while all this is happening, moments before the announced signing of Cam Newton, the Patriots were penalized by the NFL for another Spygate episode. The filming of the Cincinnati Bengals sideline last December in their game against the Browns wound up costing them a 2021 third-round pick as well as a $1.1 million fine. Does the Patriots' punishment fit the crime? Here's Stephen A. and Dominique Foxworth.
It got off way easier than you would expect, considering that this is a second-time offense. Like, the first, and considering that the first time they had this offense, they got a tougher penalty, in my view. So the original Spygate, I believe it was a $500,000 fine and a first-round draft pick. So I guess we're assuming at this point we're taking them at their word that maybe this team, the film team that was recording this, was not connected to the football side. I'm not sure I buy that personally, but if that's what they're saying, then why penalize them at all? So I'm confused at why you would let them off the hook with a $500,000 fine for Belichick, $250,000 for the team, and a first-round pick the first time, and then this time around, they give them a little bit more money, I guess. Well, it's less money overall, and a third-round pick. The real punishment is the losing the draft pick. So to back it all the way up to the third round doesn't make sense to me, unless they think that the Patriots did nothing wrong, it was an honest mistake, which I find hard to believe given the history of that organization, that this was a completely honest mistake. And if that's the case, if it's an honest mistake, then don't penalize them at all. It just seems confusing to me why they would administer any punishment and then administer a punishment weaker than the one they gave for the first offense. This is a second offense. Penalties go up when you have a second offense because it shows that you have not learned your lesson and we must try harder to teach you your lesson. So this doesn't make sense what the NFL has done for the Patriots in this situation.
Well, I think it does make sense, Neek, but primarily because of some of the reasons that you just mentioned. The fact is that if you can make the argument that it was an honest mistake, there's still an issue involving optics because of Spygate and then Deflategate and now this. In other words, you find yourself yet again in the throes of controversy in terms of trying to, you know, skirt around the issues and give yourself some kind of unfair advantage. Obviously, the Cleveland Browns, if you recall correctly, and based on this story, had given the New England Patriots permission to film stuff for some whatever they were working on. But the Patriots hadn't informed the Cincinnati Bengals of this, and they ultimately labeled it an oversight. An individual was fired. It involved an independent contractor. All of this stuff that's not even worth getting into. Here's the reality of the situation. Again, from an optics perspective, you got to hand down some kind of punishment just to slap them on the hand and to let them know these are things that you cannot do. We cannot let you get away with this. But, Nick, you're a smart brother, and I know you know some of your history. Let me give you a little history about myself, Nick, okay? I'm one of those dudes, just as much as I love sports, Nick, I also love presidential debates and stuff like that. I watch the politics. I'm not fixing it. I'm not an aficionado on it, but I watch, I observe, I love that stuff. And presidential debates, oh, I can't wait. I'm sitting back and watching that like I watched the Super Bowl. If you remember during the Iran-Contra affair in the 80s, remember that saying by Ronald Reagan, our former president, God rest his soul? Remember when he said, plausible deniability. You remember that? That's the New England Patriots. They've been exercising plausible deniability for at least a decade now. It's what they do. You know, if there's something, there's a nugget of stuff to deny, to sort of sit up there and just dissipate the level of accountability for some of the stuff that goes on, Bill Belichick is a master at pulling it off. It's really, really that simple. The only time you really had them dead to rights was Spygate. Deflategate was highly questionable. People sitting there talking about, oh, my goodness, they deflated the footballs. Well, guess what? When the footballs were deflated in the first half, Tom Brady came out with regular-sized footballs and torched Indianapolis in the AFC title game in the second half. And then Bill Belichick comes out at a press conference acting like he's some football scientist, breaking stuff down and basically saying, it ain't me, it's them. And so now you got this. It ain't me, it's them. And oh, by the way, they don't even work for the team. It's plausible deniability. All right. It's exercised all the time. That's where the slap on the hand comes from.
Hey, listen, Stephen A. makes a passionate point about plausible deniability, but give me a break. They lost a first-round pick in 2016 for Deflategate, lost a first-round pick in 2008 for Spygate 1. They get a third-round pick for this? I thought repeat offenders got harsher penalties here. And by the way, does it not speak to the Patriots' genius, greatness, that despite losing first-round picks, they're still able to do it year after year? And, of course, they add Cam Newton to the mix. Are they the favorites in the AFC East? We'll head to the phone lines in a minute. But first, it ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, our fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church is bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Back to the phone lines we go. Matthew from Missouri. How are you today, Matthew?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So the Patriots now the favorite with Cam Newton?
Absolutely not. Listen, they got their own. They got the Buffalo Bills in the East to deal with. And then once they make it out of the East, which they won't, they got to deal with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Absolutely not.
And the Ravens. I like where you're coming from with my Buffalo Bills. I think the Bills are the favorite in the AFC East, even with Cam. I think the Bills were a playoff team a year ago. They add Stephon Diggs in the offseason. Drafted well again. I still think the Bills are the favorite to win the division. But Cam's a great signing there. Rob from Pennsylvania. Rob, how about you? Is Cam Newton now on the Patriots, making them the favorites to win the AFC East?
It makes them improved. But it doesn't make them the favorites. The Buffalo Bills have got a better team. They've built up a much stronger defense. They've got the draft picks. They've grown. They're going to be the powerhouse in the AFC for the next few years. So, no, absolutely not. And I'm a Pats fan.
Suddenly I like the right turn this conversation has taken, right? We've been singing the Patriots' praises for the first 36 minutes of the show. Now, all of a sudden, Buffalo Bills football. Good call there, Rob. Connor from Washington on 888-SAY-ESPN. Connor, how are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Connor, how about you? Cam Newton signing make the Patriots the favorites to win the division?
I think it puts them right there with the Bills, 1A, 1B. But I think it's really easy to look at Cam's completion percentage over his career and say he's inaccurate as opposed to looking at the context and seeing that he had Mike Shula calling his plays and Shula did nothing at all to help Cam. It was a 30-yard bomb to Funchess or Benjamin, or run the ball or hand it off, and then he had Gettleman drafting big, slow weapons that didn't create separation. You know, his only year that he had in an offense that really fit an accurate dink and dunk offense was Norv, and he was on schedule after his first 8 games to have the best year of his career. So I think the narrative that he's this inaccurate passer is overhyped and misunderstood, because really the offense that was around him was not molded to be a high completion percentage offense.
It's a great call. I think you make a great point. I mean, Aaron Rodgers belly aches all the time that he doesn't have a ton of weapons around him. What real weapons did Cam have? I mean, Kelvin Benjamin was a nice option. I'm not sure Kelvin Benjamin was ever a one wide receiver in the NFL. Devin Funchess, a nice option. Greg Olsen, solid tight end. I'm not sure that Cam was ever surrounded with playmakers who got the best out of him. That's a very good call. Daryl from Utah on 888-SAY-ESPN. Does the Cam Newton signing make the Patriots the favorite to win the AFC East? Daryl, what do you think?
Well, I think it's a great move just because of the money situation, and it's a test. They're not losing anything about that. I am a longtime Pat fan. I would like to see it work, but I'm worried a little bit about the personalities. Does Cam fit in with the personality of Belichick? You know, when you had Brady and Belichick, they're kind of the stoic personalities. You have Cam, who's kind of a really highlighted personality. Is he going to fit in with the Belichick way? And I guess it's time will tell, but I worry about that.
You know, I know that Cam is a personality in his news conferences. I think a lot of that's the way that he dresses. He's expressive in that regard. I've never viewed Cam as a guy who would be difficult. And more than that, I think Cam is a 31-year-old quarterback who, by the way, is 11 years younger than Tom Brady, which tells you that potentially there's a lot of runway still left in this career. And he's a guy that has won an MVP. And he's a guy that, by the way, played in a Super Bowl, and had they won, that would have been one of the great seasons in NFL history. They went 15-1 in the regular season before they lost, and I think it was Super Bowl 50 to Peyton Manning and the Broncos. So the notion that Cam Newton might not be able to acquiesce to Bill Belichick's system, I'm not so sure about that, man. I think Cam Newton is a guy who has had a great football career, not only in the NFL. And if he has a chance to win, and he can stay healthy and return to the form that it was anywhere close to his MVP season, I don't think there's going to be any problem at all with Cam getting along with a guy who's probably the greatest coach in the history of the NFL. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bailey from Georgia joining us on 888-SAY-ESPN. Bailey, what do you think?
Man, I think Bill Belichick stole a quarterback just as quick as he stole our Super Bowl down here in Georgia. So it's a steal.
He gets him for $1 million, Bailey. What's the downside? But so he steals a quarterback and he gets a guy who's a former MVP. Is that good enough based on what the Patriots had? And in one season, in what very well may be a shortened training camp, is that enough to make them the favorites to win the division?
Yeah, they're better than Buffalo at all. But they're still going to make the playoffs, I think, though.
Bailey, we appreciate the call. It's funny, the AFC, beyond Buffalo and Baltimore and Kansas City, I mean, who else really scares you in the AFC? Pittsburgh? I don't know. And, man, as we've talked about, the Patriots, listen, the cupboard's not bare. And, again, they're adding a guy. I know he's been injured. Won an MVP a couple of years ago. I think the Patriots are still going to be a really, really difficult team to contend with. Coming up, a state has made a massive change because of sports. It's an incredible story, and you will hear about it next. As we continue on, First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, simulcast on ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests joining us today appear via the Shell Pennzoil performance line. We've been asking you the question, does the Cam Newton signing make the Patriots the favorites in the AFC East? 888-SAY-ESPN. This is Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz. We'll get back to the Cam conversation in just a minute. You may have missed it, but boy, don't tell me the power of sports isn't tremendous. On Sunday, the Mississippi State Legislature officially passed a bill to permanently remove the Confederate battle emblem from the state flag. It had been on the flag for 126 years. And there's been pressure to have this happen for a long time. But part of the movement here in June of 2020 was Mississippi State running back Kylan Hill, one of, if not the best running back in the SEC, and by extension, college football, saying he was no longer going to play in the state of Mississippi unless this happened. And I'm not saying it's directly because of Kylan Hill, but guess what? He spoke out, and on Sunday, The Confederate battle emblem was removed from the state flag. Ole Miss men's basketball coach Kermit Davis believes the power of sports made that happen. He spoke this morning with Stephen A. Smith and Dominique Foxworth.
We've seen an unbelievable movement in our country for the better, for social injustice. It's been a great movement that we've seen a lot of young people voice their opinions with platforms, college athletes and student athletes all over the country. And that's probably one of the most gratifying things for me as a coach that's been in college basketball for 38 years is to hear their voice. And I think the people in Mississippi were much, much better listeners over the last year. And so just one of those things that I think that the legislature, both the House and the Senate, they took hold of it. Administrators did it. The SEC, we had unbelievable leadership from Greg Sankey, who came out and said, we're not going to have any more SEC championships in the state as long as the flag is where it is. Mark Emmert from the NCAA said, we're not hosting any other regionals or NCAA tournament games if the flag is the same. And then, you know, Colin Hill from Mississippi State spoke out. And then as administration and coaches, we became. So it was a total movement to do the right thing and get the flag down.
I think it's a wonderful symbolic gesture, but I was wondering if there are further steps that you guys are going to take in to address injustice that are facing people in your community and even facing your players and the athletes in the state of Mississippi.
Yeah, I just think I can only speak from, you know, what we're doing at Ole Miss, and it's a great question. And we've had constant dialogue from the George Floyd incident all the way through our flag change, and we've been in constant communication with our players. Ole Miss has taken a great stand. I think on our campus, the student athletes formed their own unity rally. It's really the second rally that we've had. We've been very proud of the student athletes in all sports. That led a unity rally, I guess, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, had one on Saturday. And so their voice is being heard in our community. And, you know, so I just think that we have just got to keep listening, open up, do a great job in our state and our different universities.
Kermit Davis, the head basketball coach at Ole Miss this morning on First Take, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Well, it's about time. And by the way, while we're at it, how about getting rid of the nickname Rebels at Ole Miss? I mean, is that asking too much? But it's a start. And shout out to Kylan Hill for using his platform to help make it happen. Coming up, an MVP is headed to the Patriots, but will they continue to reign over the AFC East? More of your calls coming up next.